You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Beware of false prophets who hinder people from finding the narrow road that leads to heaven. Learn more about entering the kingdom of God in week 15 of our series, Redefined.
All right, good evening, everyone. Please give your seatmate a high five for a while. Tell your seatmate, I'm so glad you are here today despite the bad weather. All right. We are at the tail end of our series called Redefined. Can you imagine this? We've been on this series for 3 months now. This is a 16-week series, and you know what? We are on the 15th week today. We are basically ending this series next Sunday. So I trust and pray that all of us here have a different perspective whenever you start reading Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7, talking about the Sermon on the Mount. My hopes are also high that to a certain extent that this has really changed your life. Amen? It's pretty amazing because as we end this series, we are basically going to the application part today. But let me just say a couple of things for a while before we really get into this. My grandmother, she used to work for Toys R Us for quite a number of years. I think she retired when she was 83. So you kind of get a picture when you have someone, a father maybe, your mother, or a relative who's working for a toy shop. Imagine if you were a kid, it would always make you excited when Christmas time comes. Because you know for a fact that there's always a brand new toy that will be given to you. So my grandmother was like that. Every December, she would always send us this VHS tape. So you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you are staring blank. You don't know what VHS or Betamax are. Anyone here who's familiar with VHS or Betamax? Come on, show your age. Come on now. All right, there they are. Okay, millennials, here are the millennium. Just Google that later. What makes me excited, you know, my grandmother, she would always send us different VHS tapes of different cartoons. And the most anticipated part is the last part wherein Porky Pig comes out and he starts saying, "That's all, folks." Of course, you don't know who Porky Pig is. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Porky Pig. He used to be popular in the days of your mother or grandmother. Porky Pig would always come out at the end of every cartoon and he would say, "That's all, folks." So that basically signals the end of the cartoon show or the cartoon movie or whatever. Now, in essence, this is basically what Jesus was saying here, that as we are at the tail end of his sermon, take note, this is a long sermon, the first sermon ever delivered by Jesus, and probably the most famous sermon in the world, like what we told you. As he is nearing the end of his sermon, he's basically telling everyone, that's basically everything. But that question leads to another question in terms of his sermon. That question leads to the next question, which is now, what? Meaning to say, as he's ending his sermon, as we are ending our series, the part that we're going to look into today and next Sunday is basically the application part. So it's time for us to basically funnel everything down, every single thing that you've heard thus far when we started this series up until now. It's time for us to apply every single one of these things. Tell the person beside you first, it's time for application. Or else? Wala lang. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 13 down to verse 23. It says here, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is quite a lengthy verse that we're looking into. Ideally, the best way to look at this is to divide this in three parts. But we're trying to accomplish
something here this afternoon. By God's grace, I hope we can do that. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to talk about Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23 in this manner. First, we're going to talk about the two gates. Everybody say the two gates. After which, we're going to shift gear and start talking about the two trees. After that, we're going to talk about the very personal words of Jesus when he say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So we'll start with the first one first. Okay, in verse 13, it says here, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide. Everybody say wide. And the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, let me just try to explain this for right. I believe this is the context of Jesus when he was sharing that. Many of you know he's a master storyteller, meaning to say Jesus would always look at an object, and he will try to get the spiritual significance of that object and throw it to the people. Many of you know, 2 weeks ago, we were in Lebanon together with some team. When we were in Beirut, 1 hour north of Beirut is a place called Byblos. Byblos is a 4,500-year-old city. It's basically a World Heritage Site simply because it's one of the longest and continuously inhabited cities in the world. So when we got there, you kind of get a picture that everything around us are basically primitive. And there's a lot of ruins there. And I took some photos of the different gates that they have. So you would see that on your left is an example of a small gate. On your right is an example of a wide gate. Imagine this for a while. Whenever you start talking about Lebanon, in the Old Testament, it starts talking about Lebanon. Lebanon is Lebanon. In the New Testament, you would see that there's a place called Tyre and Sidon, where Paul was preaching. That's basically part of Lebanon. In the book of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned to death, you guys remember that? A lot of the disciples went to a place called Phoenicia. Phoenicia right here is Lebanon. So you kind of get a picture, a context that these are the surroundings of Jesus during his time. And it's basically referring to these analogies to throw a spiritual reality to the people around him. Now, of course, what you're seeing here right now is a ruin. Those are ruins. In their time, it's a little more majestic. But of course, it's dull. They don't have paint back then. But nonetheless, what we're having here is a picture of two kinds of gates, a narrow one and a wide one. Tell the person beside you for a while. Wide gate and narrow gate. Now, I hope we're very clear with that one. So we're talking about a wide gate and a narrow gate. Now, take note of this one. Like what I said, whenever Jesus starts talking about objects, the same way with parables, he would start talking to people in parables, but there's always a spiritual reality to it. So meaning to say, the physical gates that he's talking about, wide gate and small gate, the physical gates here are analogies that point to a spiritual reality. So when Jesus says wide gate, it's not just talking about a wide gate. He's talking about the spiritual reality of that wide gate. When he starts saying narrow gate, he's not just talking about this narrow gate right here, but he's talking about the spiritual reality that is basically found in that narrow gate. Now, let's talk about the wide gate for a while, which is the most common one. Verse 13, it says here, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The wide gate. Let's start talking about the characteristics of the wide gate. First, the wide gate is a large entrance that leads to a broad boulevard during their time. A lot of the gates are like that. Many of you know, in previous preachings that we have been doing here, many of you understand the significance in battles of a city gate. Whenever a city is to be captured, people would try to infiltrate or barge in the gates. That is why in primitive times, you would come to understand that some gates are actually studded. There are a lot of studs on different gates, and these are like big, big metal studs that basically covers the wooden gates. They use that so that the enemy's elephants will not be able to barge in. Okay, kind of get a picture of the significance of gates. Now, the gate that we're talking about here is a large entrance that leads to a boulevard. So meaning to say, it is beautiful. Just like the person seated beside you, beautiful. By faith, okay? Now, that's a spiritual reality. My point there is this one. If this is a wide gate that leads to a beautiful boulevard, it gives us a picture that this is what? This is very inviting to the senses. Meaning to say, whenever you encounter these wide gates, again, spiritual reality, wide gates, that can be whatever the world can offer you. It gives us a picture that all of your senses are basically engaged in the wide gate. Your sight, olfactory, your hearing, your senses are basically engaged. There's always something enticing about the wide gate. That term is tempting. Meaning to say, the wide gates that we're talking about here, it tempts you. It makes you want to go inside those gates. Another characteristic of the wide gate is it is easy to locate and get into. When something is easy to locate, it gives you a picture that it is common. Because it's easy for you to identify that this is the wide gate right here. Now, when something is common, it gives us a picture that everyone goes there, basically. Now, I want you to understand this. As a Christian, much more as a Christian leader, God did not call you to be a common person. Meaning to say, as a Christian, your convictions are supposed to be uncommon. Your decisions are supposed to be uncommon. Your decisions, convictions, whatever it is that makes you up, should distinguish you from the rest of the people out there. Why? Because you do not basically belong to the wide gate. A Christian leader will always go against the impetus. Will always go against what other people are doing. Not lambast them, but go against the flow. You guys know salmon, right? Of course, we don't have it here. But it's like salmon talking to each other. Every fish out there is just swimming with the flow. Let's do something different. Let's swim against the flow. Not just against the flow, but up the mountain, up the stream or something like that. So a Christian person, woman and man, should always have that kind of conviction. Just because it is popular doesn't mean that it is right. Just because everyone is doing the same thing doesn't mean you should be doing the same thing. As a Christian man, you have to have the conviction to go against the impetus. I'm preaching here now. Come on now. The next thing that we have to understand here is that because of its sheer size, because of the size of the gate, because of the how grand and majestic the gate looks from the outside, because of its size, there are no limitations to the baggage that you can bring inside. You can bring whatever you want to bring in. You can take anything along with you as long as it pleases you. Kind of like what the world preaches to all of us right now. Parang, te, kung saan ka masaya, suportahan ta ka. It's kind of like something like that. You know, mind your own business. I'm doing my own thing here. We live in a world wherein that which is absolute has become so relative. No, I'll tell you what. You cannot live a life without absolutes because that will destroy you. And that is the world that we live in right now. You can bring it. You can do whatever you want as long as at the end of the day, I will repent. I love God and stuff like that. I don't think that is basically loving God. That is going through the wide gate, and that is a gate that basically leads to destruction. You know, just this morning at the airport, I overheard two women beside me in the line. I wasn't eavesdropping. I just overheard them. Human nature says that it's normal for a lady to giggle at the sight of a handsome guy whenever you see guys that looks like John. You know, it's like, ibang klase. Yung parang hindi ka makahinga. Pag nakakita ka ng mga tulad ni Ronel, yan yung tipong himatayin ka. Anyway, but you know, these two women were giggling. And what surprised me, or it shouldn't really surprise me, it's just that maybe because my world is a church world, was that they know for a fact that this man is married and they're giggling over the possibility of having a relationship with him. We might say, huh, why is it something like that? You know, that's the world that we live in. That's the reality of the world that we live in. That is what a wide gate looks like. You can carry in anything that you want to bring in, and nobody cares what you're doing. And sometimes, if as a Christian man, you go and confront people, you come out as a judgmental person. If you ask me, I'll speak out anyway. Because if we're not preaching, then who else out there is going to preach? The world, the media, is going to preach to every single one of us every single day of our life. Might as well let the Christians start speaking out and preaching what the truth of God's word says about a lot of the things around us. Another thing that we have to understand about the wide gate is there is absolutely no effort to come in. Why? Because it's wide. Parang kanina, may katabi ako. Alam niyo naman, medyo masagana yung pagkain. Lumaki ako ng konti. Minsan, pag nag-tricycle ako, alam niyo, minsan sa tricycle, parang naiipit ka na kasi hindi ka na makahinga kasi ang sikip-sikip nyo. Minsan may mga ganun situation tayo. But if we're talking about the wide gate here, there's no issue of space. There's no effort required to go into. If you try to assess the things around you right now, you would come to understand it's actually easy to sin. For the devil to bait you into sinning, it's actually an easy one. There's no effort to sin behind because to a certain extent, that is our default mode. Fish swim because they are fish. A sinner sins because he is a sinner. Because that is our nature. So it's basically a default mode for us. That's why there is no effort to basically get into the wide gate. Another thing is that there's an implicit idea of this broad road or gate that imposes that there's no boundaries on what one thinks. Meaning to say, if I may say this right, I believe we live in a world right now wherein pluralism is heightened up to the point wherein it's becoming so much accepted in the society. It's like someone would say, I don't just worship Jesus, I also worship Buddha, I also worship this person, I also worship God, because at the end of the day, it's the same God, and it is not the same God. If you know your Bible, you would come to understand it is not the same God. Haven't you realized that whenever you start talking about God to people, people are basically fine except the atheists? But whenever you usher in the name of Jesus, suddenly there's argument around you. Why? People are not fine with Jesus being God, and Jesus is your God. So there's basically differences. So what's the problem here? The problem that we have here is, in verse 13, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. That's the problem. The wide gate, which is so enticing, the wide gate wherein a lot of people are in, is a gate that will lead to a road. That road will basically lead to destruction. And when I say destruction, I'm not talking about destruction in your physical attributes. Na parang when you're 18 years old, you look so good, but because na-addict ka, natukhang ka, kaya nagkaganito na itsura mo. It's not just talking about your physical attributes. Whenever you start talking about destruction here, we are talking about what? A destruction that is what? An eternal and continuous destruction. Again, this is a spiritual reality. If I may say this now, since I have the opportunity to say this now, the two gates here basically represents heaven and hell. Basically, the two gates lead to any of those two destinations. And the spiritual reality here, friends, is that whenever you take the wide gate, the Bible teaches us that this gate right here will lead you to destruction, and this destruction is continuous and eternal. Shall I talk about hell for a while? It's not on my notes, but come to think of this. If you study hell in scriptures, you would come to understand that hell is a place where you wouldn't want to be into. You wouldn't want to camp in hell for that matter. Why? Just a couple of things about hell. Number one, according to the Bible, according to the scriptures, hell is a place where worms do not die. So, if worms do not die in hell, it gives us a picture na sagana ang rotten meat in hell. It also gives us a picture that hell is a place wherein fire cannot be quenched. It gives us also a picture, the Bible also teaches us, that hell is a place where there's gnashing of teeth. And guess what? Here's the worst part. In hell, there is no repentance. In hell, sin is full-blown. I'm not scaring any of you, okay? All of us here are taking the narrow gate. Amen? If a while ago the problem is this wide gate will lead to destruction, the even greater problem here is what Jesus said. Look at this one. In the last part, he says, this wide gate, those who enter by it are many. So meaning to say, in the world that we live in right now, whether it's Dumaguete or in your home provinces, there's too many people choosing the wide gate over the narrow gate. My encouragement for every single one of us is this one. Count yourself out of that crowd and be part of those people who will have the passion, the zeal to take the narrow gate. Now, let's start talking about the narrow gate for a while. Whenever you start talking about the narrow gate, it doesn't bring too much encouragement either. But at least the reward will bring so much encouragement. Let's talk about the narrow gate. It says here, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. Now, look at this one. In verse 13, Jesus started out by saying, enter by the narrow gate before he gave the options of the two gates. Kind of crazy, right? It's kind of like this. Let's say I have two envelopes. I'll tell Ronel and John, hey, John, Ronel, I have two envelopes on my hand. On the right envelope, I place 1,000 pesos. Choose the right envelope. Now, what do you choose, left or right? You get a picture? Of course, you will have to choose, right? Because I told you the answer to where the money is. Are you getting the picture? The same way with what Jesus is teaching here. He was like saying, before he said that there's two options, whether you take the narrow gate or the wide gate, he started telling us, take the narrow gate. Take note, friends, it's not a suggestion, it is actually a command. It says, take the narrow gate now. Which do you choose, narrow gate or wide gate? So that's basically the essence of what he's talking about here. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. In verse 14, it says here, look at this one, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard. Everybody say hard. Well, we can actually say that to a certain extent, Christianity is kind of difficult and hard. Come on now. That leads to life, and those who find it are few. I was talking with Pastor Jonathan. One time, they went to South Korea, and they went to the DMZ, the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea. And I don't know which part of the DMZ is that. He said there's a small tunnel there, which they got in. I don't know why they have to go inside the tunnel. But he said, once you're inside the tunnel, it's difficult for you to move out, simply because there are a lot of people following you. So it's like, once you decide to go inside the tunnel, you have to go straight up until the exit. The problem with the tunnel, he said, is that it was too restricting and it's too tight inside that to a certain extent, you feel like you're suffocating. Now, I want you to understand, the narrow gate that Jesus is talking about here is kind of like something like that. Now, what are some characteristics of the narrow gate? Some of the characteristics of the narrow gate is this one. It is so tiny that it is easily overlooked. Wait a second. Wide gate, so common. Your senses are very much engaged in the wide gate. It's pretty much seen by everyone. Everyone goes there. But here comes the narrow gate. The narrow gate gives us a picture that it is so tiny. In fact, it is so obscure that you will have to find and look for it. And here comes Jesus telling us, go and enter through the narrow gate. You know what it means? It only gives us a picture, friends. Once you take the narrow gate, striving for popularity is behind you. It's like saying, once you become a Christian, fame is no longer your motivation. You don't expect to be popular because people will, I have to say this, will mock you and will persecute you. That is what the narrow gates basically lead us to. It is so tiny that you have to look for it. And guess what? The spiritual reality of that is kind of good because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, basically teaches every single one of us that God is a rewarder of them who what? Who seek Him. Nope. Of those who diligently seek Him. There's a difference between seeking God and diligently seeking God. How hungry are you for God? How hungry are you for God's purposes in your life? That is what the narrow gate looks like. It is a tiny one. It will make you unpopular. There's not too many check-ins. If you're doing four square, there's not too many check-ins at the narrow gates. So wide gate, no, grabe, sanda mukha lang check-in dyan. Not just that, the road in it is narrow. So when you say it's a narrow gate that has a narrow road in it. Now, let me just try to come there for a while and explain that. Whenever Jesus says, take the narrow gate, he was not like saying, as long as you take the narrow gate, once you get in, it's paradise. Nope. That's not what he says. Look at this one. Have you encountered some of this on the internet, expectation versus reality? Or maybe some of you have experienced that. That is what the wide gate will do to you. The wide gate will flaunt everything to you, will lure you in, will bait you in. But once you get in, guess what? The devil does not keep his promises. In fact, the devil will shortchange you. Expectation versus reality. Let's say you went inside McDonald's and you have this picture of a burger. But the reality is that's what you have. Have you guys encountered this before? When you were a kid, especially the guys here, you wanted to be Superman. You feel like if you're Superman, you can fly. But the reality is if you're Superman, you're flying on that much speed, that's going to be how you're going to look like. O yung mga singles. Sino yung mga singles dito na hindi sudyante? Diba? Yung expectation mo ng Valentine's Day. Expectation mo Valentine's Day, nandun kayo sa bais, nagwe-whale watching. May ka-holding hands ka. Pero ang reality, nag-order ka dahil wala kang kadate. Now, that is a picture of expectation versus reality. Now, Jesus, when he started saying, take the narrow gate, he wasn't saying something like this. As long as you just make it through, After that is paradise. No, he didn't say you take the narrow gate. After that, the contour of the road widens. Okay, even the road is actually narrow. It gives us a picture that those who follow the road have to take up their cross and suffer for and with Jesus Christ. I wish to tell this to everyone. Preachers who preach to you messages devoid of Christian suffering and Christian sacrifice are preachers that you have to stay away from. Because to my knowledge, if you read your Bible, the Bible teaches us that the moment you become a Christian, there's a cross that you will have to carry. Christian sacrifice is part of Christian life. Imagine this with me for a while. I'm reading a book right now called The Four. It talks about the different implications of social media. It talks about Google and all of this thing. And you know, they came up with a conclusion, and their conclusion is very simple. Their conclusion is, the strive for many people right now is to be likable. Do you folks realize that your happy hormones are at work when someone likes your profile photo? When you get a like on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, to a certain extent, there's something that's happening in you that you become so happy. Your happy hormones are happier than ever before. So that's the trend that we have right now. You know what? You want to be likable. That's the generation that we live in. Now, I want you to understand this. If Jesus wanted to become just a popular person, why in the world would he start talking about and encourage people to go through the narrow gate? If I were Jesus, I have that kind of mentality that I want to make a dominant world religion. I'd rather talk about the wider gate. Or I can tell them, you know what? This is a narrow gate, but once you get in, it's paradise. Trust me, it's paradise. Jesus didn't say anything of that sort. In short, it was like saying, you take this route, and it is a tough route. It is a tough road. Another thing that we have to understand about this gate is that this gate is evidently the kind through which you cannot bring in any of your luggages. Have you ever been in an airport wherein, sa sobrang kuripot mo, hindi ka bumili ng pang-check-in. Tapos pinipilit mo na may i-check-in ka. Alam ang tawag doon? Kapalmux. In short, you'll have to pay for that. You cannot bring in things that shouldn't be in. So in the same way, because it is a narrow gate, look at this one. There will be things that should be left behind if you are to take the narrow gate. Tim Keller says, you don't realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Meaning to say, it removes things away from us, things that you wouldn't need if you were to take the narrow road, for that matter. I don't know what those things are. That could be relationships that doesn't honor God. That could be dreams that doesn't honor God. That could be selfish things that doesn't honor God. That could be a certain kind of attitude that you will have to leave behind if you are to take the narrow road or the narrow gate, for that matter. The narrow gate also imposes boundaries. Folks, listen, you cannot begin to imagine a life without absolutes, without boundaries. Boundaries are meant to be placed there, not to restrict us, but to protect us. If you're driving, you would encounter this maybe in Robinson's and different places. There's what we call a maximum clearance whenever you would go inside a tunnel or stuff like that. That is what we call boundaries. So meaning to say, you cannot have a potpourri of everything. You cannot have a mashup of every kind of belief that you have out there and basically funnel it down, it's the same God anyway. No, it is not and never the same God. Right. Folks, at the end of the day, truth is not left up to the tyranny of democratic consensus. Those who follow Jesus will not and may not believe what most people believe, and those on the narrow way will not be popular for their belief. Friends, listen. You're here and you're a Christian. Strive to be faithful, not to be popular. Even when the Bible talks about salvation, the road to salvation is narrow. Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what he says. When Peter was preaching about Jesus Christ, he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. People would say, you know, that the narrow road is restricting. It takes away our liberty. To the contrary, Because the truth of the matter is, the narrow way is completely fulfilling. You know why? Because once you fulfill God's purposes for your life, you feel fulfilled as well. I want you to understand that there's a huge difference between happiness and having a different kind of joy. The world can offer you happiness, momentary happiness for that matter. But joy, even despite suffering, can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, after which he started shifting gear from talking about the two gates to talking about the two trees. And here's what he says, and this is quite interesting. Look at this one. It says here, after encouraging everyone to go through the narrow gate, he starts talking about the two trees. He says, beware of false prophets. Other translation says, beware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So he starts talking about what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased tree bears bad fruit. In verse 18, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, let me just camp here for a while, then we're going to end. Look at this one. Many of you here, we have accepted the fact that Victory Dumaguete, to a certain extent, is a transient church. Many of you will come here, and many of you here, after a couple of years, will leave Dumaguete. Every year, we have like a 20% attrition in this church. My point is, some of you here will leave Dumaguete and join a different church community somewhere around the world. Some of you might accept a job, whether that's in Manila or in Qatar, in Kuwait, or USA, or Canada. San yung gusto pumunta? London, wherever you want to go. Why do I have to point this out? I want you to understand this. You have to distinguish a false teacher from a good teacher. If you are to join a different church community in the future, you need to have the discerning heart. You have to understand Scripture so that you will not be gullible as a Christian and you will be led astray from your faith. Look at this one. Whenever you encounter a signage that says, caution, slippery floor, it gives you a picture that that warning is there because the floor is wet. For Jesus to warn us about false teachers, it gives us a picture that there is what? There's a proliferation of false teachers out there that you have to watch out for because he himself is warning us against this. In fact, if you read the epistles of Paul, you would come to understand that a lot of his epistles has something to do with him dealing with false teachers trying to infiltrate the church. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. Whenever you start talking with wolves in sheep's clothing, it's basically pertaining to what? False teachers and false prophets, false preachers for that matter. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, it says here, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. This has happened in the past. Friends, listen to this one. This is happening now. If you do not know your Bible, you will be led astray. What will happen in one of these days? Going up on the pulpit and I start telling you, hey, make a donation today and receive this healing hanky. For a donation of 10 pesos, for a donation of 10,000 pesos, you get to receive this healing hanky and it's yours to heal people out there and to free yourself of any diseases and illnesses. If this thing ever happens, please leave this church. Look for a different church. But far be it from us for that thing to ever happen here in this church. Amen? You know what's worse than that? It's something like this. What if Tom or Ken would come up here and tell you, double the donation for the double crucifix and receive double blessing. I tell you, this isn't an easy preaching. I don't do this every single Sunday. But I'm telling you now, you have to put this in your mind. That you cannot afford to sit under the preaching, whether on YouTube or TV or live, sitting under the preaching and teaching of something that doesn't preach the Scripture. So here's an indication. How will you know if you are sitting under the preaching of a false teacher or preacher? Again, I'm not here to lambast. I'm not dropping names here. I'm not here to single out a person, a preacher, stuff like that. But I am telling you now, in fact, I'm making an appeal to you now. I don't know, maybe this is just me. But you know what? If I am a close friend of yours, even the vloggers that you're listening to, I'll point that out to you. That is if you give me the permission to do so. Even if a person comes in and tells you, I am a Christian vlogger, I'm not saying be judgmental, I'm saying be discerning. Those are two different things. I'm not saying you go visit a church and start looking for mistakes. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. All I'm telling you is be discerning. Whether that's vlogger or author of a book, Christian book for that matter, it's as simple as me and Rian would have a conversation and we'll say, what do you think about this? I think it's habit. Should start listening to it. I think this is habit. So, might as well don't have anything to do with this one. Pero, he's a popular vlogger and stuff like that. Who cares? That doesn't spur me to honor God. Now, going further, how would you know what are some indications that you are sitting under the preaching of a false teacher or false preacher? Or a false prophet. First one is this one. There's no what? There's no preaching on the narrow road. What is my point? When I say there's no preaching on the narrow road, every single Sunday on the pulpit, in discipleship classes, membership classes, Bible study groups, if everything that is being talked about is wealth, health, and happiness, what's being offered to you is a prosperity theology. Again, devoid of Christian sacrifice. Devoid of Christian suffering. That is not scriptural. Would I be happy if people get wealthy, people get healed? Of course, that is our prayer. We pray for that every single day. But our world doesn't revolve around us being wealthy, happy for that matter. Why? Because this world isn't about us. We don't rub God as a genie and tell God, okay, God, you are a genie. Make me happy. Go ahead and give me this. Go ahead and give me this. That's idolatry. At the end of the day, only God, only Jesus, going through the narrow road, will make me satisfied, will make me feel fulfilled. My wife knows that I can't be her God. She needs to have her own relationship with God. You know what? I don't know with you, but for some guys here, I love watching UFC. You guys love watching UFC? You know, this position is what we call the ground and pound position. Ground and pound means a fighter is pinned on his back on a canvas, and here's this guy positioned on top of him and trying to beat him, and he's all bloodied. What is my point here? I hope and pray that we will be a church who will not skirt around sin, that we will have the attitude that every single Sunday, whenever we leave a church service, we will have the attitude that I want to ground and pound the sin that is present in my life. False theology, false teaching, false preaching has something to do with us not preaching about what sin for what it really is. People will say, why will you talk about sin? People are harassed every single day of our life and they know that they're already sinners. That's what the Bible teaches us. Don't you think that we can be loving while preaching sin? We can do that. At the end of the day, we have to preach difficult things like God's holiness, purity and holiness for that matter. Conviction as a Christian, Christian suffering. If we skirt around these issues, nothing will happen in the world around us. How in the world can you be salt and light if you don't even know what salt and light really means? What are some indications? A preacher wants everyone to like him. You know what's funny? Whether through preaching or teaching or your own devotional time, the reality is the truth of God's word is offensive to the human mind. So if as a preacher, I always have this in my thought that I'm going to preach God's word, but I cannot offend people if that is in my thought that I cannot preach the truth of God's word. Of course, I don't have a single person in mind whenever I start preaching here. I just preach the word for what it really is. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says, God's word is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates right through dividing marrows. And it has to happen. Incision has to happen. Surgery has to happen by God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And there has to be preaching about that. You know what? I'm always wary of a Christian leader who always wants to win people to himself. You know what? That's a scary thing. If you are a man-pleaser, you cannot be a Christian leader. Because if your goal is to please the people around you, then you won't be able to raise leaders as how God would want you to raise them. Another indication of this one is, this is quite funny, but friends, listen. I understand this looks like a modern church. We don't preach with stola here. You want me to preach with a monotonous voice every Sunday? For God says in John chapter 3, verse 16. Gusto niyo ng ganun? Ayaw po natin ng ganun. But you know, despite this being a loud church, loud students, noisy students, all these crazy things that is present in this church, I want you to understand this. Just because this isn't a traditional church doesn't mean that we don't treat the pulpit as a sacred place. We do understand that the pulpit is a sacred place. And therefore, preaching on the pulpit should be done with all reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what we're preaching here is the Word Himself, which is Jesus Christ Himself. My point here is this one. We don't intend, we don't strive, or we don't purposefully or try to become what? Pastors who become celebrity pastors. Friends, listen. At the end of the day, every preacher of God's Word is a preacher and not an entertainer. I hope whenever you leave every single Sunday here, what you're bringing with you are not the jokes of the pastor. Nakakatawa talaga yung joke ng pastor. Grabe, ang ganda ng pamilya ng pastor. Naging idol patuloy yung pastor kasi ang ganda ng pamilya ng pastor. But where's God's Word in your take-homes? We're not entertainers. We're preachers of God's living Word. Last thing that I want us to understand is heretical preaching. You wouldn't know what you're being fed if you're not feeding yourself with the Holy Scriptures in itself. You know what? I can throw you anything. I can get away with it if you do not understand, if you do not know your Bible. But of course, as a preacher, I value the trust that people are giving me, that the leadership of this church is giving me. In the same way, I also understand one thing, that as a preacher, we are accountable to God. Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ." Verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness." Let me just end this with a few things, and we're going to pray. Look at this one. In verse 16, it says here, "You will recognize them by their fruits." If you go to verse 20, which is the last verse of what we're looking at here, it says here, "Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." At the end of the day, time will tell with the fruits that we see. Friends, a wolf can wear sheep's clothing, but it cannot grow a sheep's coat. It is possible to put grapes on thorns and figs on thistles, but they cannot grow there. You know, appearance can be deceiving. You can put up with appearance, but not for long. At the end of the day, everything will be tested by fire. In verse 21, it says here, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? Victory groups in your name? Worship leading in your name? Joining services in your name? Attending church in your name? Yet here's what Jesus said, "And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." You know, at the end of the day, Jesus was very clear. If you may want me to interpret this, it's like saying, just because you called me Lord doesn't mean I am your Savior. You know, the book of Judges talks about the war between the Gileadites and the Ephraimites. And it's quite funny because if you look at the Ephraimites and the Gileadites, they kind of look the same. You know, when we were in Lebanon, our translator would come up to us and tell us, you know, this person is Kurdish. This person is Lebanese. This person is Syrian. This person is Iraqi. This person is Kuwaiti. I would look at them. I would tell our interpreter, they all look the same. How would I know if this is Iraqi? Pastor, it has something to do with the nose. Go, what about the nose? Inside the nose or outside the nose? What are you talking about? I don't know, but he's just familiar with a person who's Syrian, Iraqi, Lebanese. He can distinguish them. Much like if you are a Filipino, you stand beside an Indonesian, you stand beside a Malaysian, you bring in a Korean, and you ask the Korean, which one of us is Filipino? No one would recognize. He will not recognize which one is Filipino until someone starts laughing out loud. Filipino, Filipino. Noisy, Filipino. You let Chinese, Japanese, and Koreans stand beside each other. The Filipino would come up and tell, which one's Chinese, which one's Korean? They wouldn't know until someone starts speaking. But you know what? I have a clever friend who can distinguish a Korean, Japanese, and Chinese just by their eyes. Crazy, right? He said, Chinese are like this, Japanese are like this, and Koreans are like this. What? I don't know. Some of you are Koreans here, so I don't know if that's true or what. Now, what's my point? The Gileadites and the Ephraimites, they were in a war. The problem was, they blend with each other. So if you blend with your enemy, that's a dangerous thing. So here's what the Gileadites did. They realized, okay, we need to have a password. The password is this word, Shibboleth. That's the password. Guess what? The Ephraimites cannot pronounce SH. So when they say Shibboleth, they say, Shibboleth, patay agad. You're an enemy, you're dead. I want you to understand this. Just because I say Lord, Lord, just because I say praise God, hallelujah. Could it be that that is Shibboleth for Shibboleth? Just because I am in a fellowship, just because complete attendance ako every single Sunday, does that make me a Christian? Friends, listen, at the end of the day, salvation is not based on lip service. Salvation is not based on a Christian lifestyle. Oh, he's wearing white polo. He must be Christian. He could be something else. What is my final exhortation? Very simple for all of us here. Enter through the narrow gate. It's basically as simple as that. Enter through the narrow gate. Keep walking through the narrow road, for great is the reward that awaits you in heaven. You may not see that reward right now, but if you bring with you those battle scars for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, God is more than willing to reward you for how you stood up for His name for all eternity. Amen.